Thank you. Morning, everyone. So we come to the final stages now of this journey to Jerusalem. It's a momentous, significant time, isn't it? There's a charged atmosphere. There are different factions vying for power. There's political unrest. There's crowds of people gathering. Any of that sound familiar at all? And there's a person like no other. There's a holy city, and in the not too distant, far distance, there's a hill, there's torture, there's a cross. You learn a lot about people when you go on a journey, don't you? If you've ever been travelling with anyone, it can make or break a friendship, can't it, going travelling? But you learn a lot about people, and you learn a lot about yourself. I don't know if any of you saw the documentary about Return to Kili. You know, for comic relief, the people went and did a climb up Kilimanjaro. And there was a bit of a documentary about it afterwards. And how they interacted, how they supported each other, how they got to know each other's weaknesses or longings, why they were taking the journey. We get to know a lot about people on a journey, especially if it's a challenging journey. And we get to know a lot about Jesus by going on this journey with him. So I'm going to pick up a few things that I feel like we get to know about Jesus, or I've got to know about Jesus through reading this passage. The first thing that struck me is that Jesus can handle emotions. He understands our emotions. That seems very significant today, especially for me. There's a celebration in this account, isn't there? There's the disciples praising God, Jesus saying, even if they are quiet, the stones will cry out. There's a lot of celebration, joyfully praising. So there's celebration, but there's also sadness. There's worship, and there's weeping. And one of the first things I get from this passage is that that's okay. We come with so many different emotions today, and that's okay. We don't need to leave any of them at the door in order to worship Jesus. We can worship Jesus by offering them to him, by bringing our emotions, raw as they are, to Jesus. And he understands, because he had an emotional journey too. So we pray for those who find today hard, for whatever reason. And we pray for those who celebrate today, for whatever reason. And we pray for those, many of us probably, who have a bit of both today. So there's no doubt it was an emotional journey. The juxtaposition of these accounts struck me. The titles, though not part of the original manuscript of the Bible, bring out this contrast, don't we? We've got the triumphant entry, weeping over Jerusalem. The triumphant entry with adulation from the masses. And Jesus isn't ignoring or denying the celebration either. He's joining in. He's saying, yeah, the world is going to celebrate. The world is celebrating. Even the stones will join in. But what does this leader do straight after? Does he have a party with his followers to celebrate the triumphant entry? Does he have a meet and greet, a few canapes? So he'd do some schmoozing with the city's officials and dignitaries just to get in there with the people that are in the know. No, he starts crying. It's part of the celebration there. Yeah, Jesus doesn't carry on and get in with the people that he thinks he needs to get in with, but he cries. We go from the triumphant entry to Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And I love how Jesus is always challenging our stereotypes and expectations, isn't he? Do we think a good leader cries? Do we think men should be unemotional? Do we think it's negative or bad for a woman to be emotional? Do we think that if we have strong faith in God, it means we'll be joyful at all times? If we're feeling emotional today, we're in good company. And another thing we learn about Jesus on this journey is that he longs for the best for us. Why does he cry? For himself? Because he's scared of what's going to happen? No, we don't get that from the account. He's crying because of what will happen to his people if they reject him. He's crying because he can see up ahead. Imagine him saying those words through tears in verses 42 to 44. Let's just find it. Imagine him through tears saying, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation." He's crying for us. He's crying for those who will reject him. He's crying for those who won't take the opportunity. And he's crying because they're so excruciatingly close to what will bring them peace. Jesus doesn't force his ways on us, does he? He doesn't force us to worship him. He's not like the Roman leaders of the time or even the religious leaders of the time, putting rules and regulations and burdens on people. No. He's more like a mother, longing for us, and offering us the opportunity of salvation. Earlier on in the gospel, Jesus actually uses a picture of motherhood to describe this longing. "How I long to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks." Longing is a picture of longing. And another thing we learn through this journey is that Jesus desires closeness with us. In our celebration and in our sadness, Jesus is so close. This is such a huge part of the good news of Jesus Christ. God has come close. Emmanuel, God with us. And this journey shows us about God, about Jesus, that he doesn't just come close in the triumph and the sordidness of our lives. God comes close to us in the failure, in the mess, in the conflict, in the danger, in the sadness and in the longing. I think sometimes that this can be added into our sort of vision statement. I struggle a bit, to be honest, with the rescuing part. I know God rescues us. But I think what's really important is presence. This passage talks about God's presence with us. And maybe we're being called to be a church that is present, to come alongside others. "When I was sick and in prison, you visited me." Jesus longs for us and he longs to come close to us. Just think for a moment of someone who has been close to you in a moment when you needed someone just to be there. And think about a time when you longed for the best for someone else. You longed for the best for them. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a friend. That is how Jesus feels about you and me. He longs for the best for us, and he longs to come close to us. We also learn through this journey that Jesus is willing to do what it takes for us. He's not in it for himself in any way, is he? We can trust in that. He's willing to do whatever it takes. It's a risky journey. In verse 28, the start of the passage, we're told Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. You get this picture, don't you, or the feeling that the disciples don't really want to be there. They don't really want to be heading in that direction. They don't really want to be going on that journey. I think they've probably got a sense of impending doom. It's like going straight into the lion's den, isn't it? They already know that Jesus isn't that popular with the establishment, or with those who violently suppress any uprising. Even the crowds of people throwing their cloaks on the ground in front of Jesus may be a bit of a cause for concern for the disciples. Maybe they were glad that Jesus was getting that kind of recognition, which they feel they knew he deserved, but scared that he was causing a stir immediately, so soon. Maybe they would have rather he'd slipped into Jerusalem quietly and avoided any unnecessary attention. There were Pharisees among the crowd, after all, attracted by the commotion perhaps, come to keep tabs on this upstart preaching a new kingdom. And some of them confront him even, don't they? Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They feel it's blasphemy. And it shows that those words are loaded with meaning that is easy maybe for us as modern hearers to miss. They're saying, this is the one. He is the one. He is the true king. But Jesus knows what he's doing, doesn't he? I love the bit with the colt at the beginning because it kind of tells us it's okay. Events aren't running away with Jesus. He knows exactly what he's doing. This is all part of the plan. He wasn't going into things with his eyes shut. He knew what he was risking. He knew what he would face. And he did it for us. He doesn't quit. When he experiences pain, he keeps going. However high the price, he is willing to pay it for us, even to pay it for those who will reject him. So we've learnt a bit about Jesus on this journey. We've learnt that he longs for us, that he's not scared of his emotions, that our God is an emotional God who feels. And we've learned that he longs to be close to us and wants the best for us. And we've learned that he's willing to risk everything to win us back. But when we go on a challenging journey, we also learn a bit about ourselves, don't we? And I wonder what we have learned about ourselves through this journey. I wonder where we are. Are we with the disciples, hesitantly following on behind Jesus, thinking, this doesn't feel like such a good idea? Or are we with the crowds praising Jesus, getting caught up in the celebration, but for how long? Or are we with those who are physically close to Jesus, but far away in their hearts and their understanding? I found this poem, which I wanted to share with us. Jesus comes near, and he beholds the city, and looks on us with tears in his eyes. And wells of mercy, streams of love and pity, flow from the fountain whence all things arise. He loved us into life, and longs to gather and meet with his beloved face to face. How often has he called a careful mother and wept for our refusals of his grace? Wept for a world that, weary with its weeping, benumbed and stumbling, turns the other way. Fatigued compassion is already sleeping, whilst her worst nightmares stalk the light of day. But we might waken yet and face those fears if we could see ourselves through Jesus' tears. Can you see yourself through Jesus' tears today? You are one who is longed for, who Jesus draws near to, who is understood, who is known, one for whom the ultimate price is paid. You are one within touching distance of the opportunity for salvation. Thanks be to God.